We're in Psalm 118, and the sermon title is An Answered Call, Psalm 118. And the reason we are there is because this is the psalm that's quoted in Luke at the triumphant entry. And I've been really wanting to get back into the Old Testament and work on learning Hebrew again, relearning my Hebrew. You know, if I'm in the New Testament for such a long time like I have, I forget things, and then I come to start translating Hebrew, and I said, "Oh, it doesn't look familiar at all." So we're in Psalm 118, and this is one of those really, really neat psalms. It's a messianic psalm, and he starts in the first four verses, and he starts by saying, "Everybody who knows the Lord knows that He is a merciful God. God is a merciful God. Anybody who knows Him, anybody at all that knows the Lord knows that He is merciful." Let's look at verse 1. Give thanks, kind of a neat word here. It means to throw, literally to throw in the air. And it views us as throwing up into the air our thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord because, got to provide verbs here, because good. God's good. You can say for God because God is good, but he doesn't really provide any kind of a subject or a verb here. He just give thanks to the Lord. When you talk about good, there's only one good, and that's God. Because unto forever is His mercy. Into the perpetuity, unto the whole eternal nature of things, you'll find that God is merciful. So He's good and He's merciful. Merciful is His chesed, His loyal love. Psalm 118, verse 2. And this is where Israel responds. And so you hear somebody stand up and they say, give thanks to the Lord because He is good and His mercy endures forever. His mercy is unto the eternal. And then this is where Israel is supposed to say, because unto forever His mercy. So they respond back, yeah, God is merciful. Everybody knows that. It's like a Geico commercial. And then the Israelites say that, and then the house of Aaron, they answer back, let them now say, the house of Aaron, because unto forever is His mercy. And then the fearers of the Lord, Yahweh fearers, anybody who understands that there is a God and you're not Him, let them say, unto forever is His mercy. God is merciful. His chesed, His loyal love, His mercy, His kindness. He is always on your team. He stays up nights thinking of good things to do for you. He wakes up in the morning and He goes to work putting them into place. So verses 1 to 4, anybody who knows the Lord knows that He's merciful. And verses 5 through 14, you're going to find that God is more powerful. He's stronger than all opposition. This is one of those, if you're ever in trouble, you want to come to Psalm 118. By the way, aren't you glad I didn't preach Psalm 119 this morning? Verse 5. As we look at the Lord being stronger than everything. And He starts from distress, out of distress or anguish, out of hardship. What kind of distress or anguish do you have this morning? What kind of things are causing you grief and pain? Say, yep, that's anguish. Yep, that's distress. Yep, that's hardship. Out of this hardship I called. This is why I titled this passage An Answered Call. I called from out of this distress that I was experiencing. Yahweh answered me. The Lord answered me in the broad place, the wide, spacious place of Yahweh. You see the military connotations of this all through the psalm, but you're in a box canyon and your enemy's barreling down on you. You have no escape. You're in a place of distress and anguish. Maybe you feel like that this morning. And you call out to the Lord, and He picks you up. You know, he sends in the helicopters, and they transport you. They catch you up right before the enemy gets there. He picks you up and he takes you out and he puts you on this broad place where you're safe and secure. That's actually the whole world word picture behind salvation, Yeshua, Joshua. That's the concept of it. So I called, and the broad, wide, spacious place of Yahweh, that's how he answered me. Verse 6. You have to provide a verb here. Yahweh for me. The Lord for me. I will not fear. Statement. So he's on this broad place. He called, God delivered, sent in the reinforcements, delivered him. Look, you can see, God's for me. I will not, present tense, I will not be fearing. And then the question, what can a man, literally, what can Adam do to me? Adam, man, what can dirt do to me? Since the Lord is the one who is delivering me, this one who has saved me, what can a person do to me? Verse 7, he repeats it. Yahweh for me, even among my helpers. The way he puts this together, he sees God as working in his life through the people around him, even among my helpers. And I, emphatic, and I will look on everybody who hates me. So he's going to be delivered from the Lord because he called out in his distress. Yahweh's for him. Yahweh's for him. He's not going to fear. Man can't do anything. And even among his helpers, the Lord is there. And the result is that he's going to look on everybody who hates him. Verse 8, continuing. And now you have several sets through this where he wants to just talk about this goodness. It's good to take refuge in the Lord. Good to take refuge in the Lord. Far better to take refuge in the Lord than to take refuge in people, in man. Even though the Lord is among his helpers, you don't want to go there for your hope. You really want to stay with your refuge being in the Lord. It's good to take refuge in the Lord, verse 9. Far better to take refuge in the Lord than even among princes. Remember, it's a military connotation here. Whatever your problem is, David says, call out to the Lord, and I promise you, that's a good place to go for help. No one who has believed in him has ever been put to shame. Take that concept to heart. You believe in the Lord, and you will not be put to shame. Verse 10. All of the nations, all of the Goyim, all the Gentiles, they have surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh, in the name of the Lord, surely I will cut them all off. They're going to surround me, not a problem, because the Lord is for me, the Lord is on my side. I don't have to fear them. I'm going to look on those who hate me, and I will cut them off. To be victorious. Verse 11. They surround me. Boy, howdy do they surround me. That's a paraphrase. You have two words back to back. They really, really, really surround me. They're pressing in on me on all sides. So we're the same. He took me up out and put me in a broad place. I'm hemmed in on every side. Verse 11. In the name of the Lord, surely I will cut them off. Verse 12, they surround me like bees. I don't know, I've never been attacked by a beehive. Anybody been attacked by bees? Uh-huh, couple? Yeah. I once stepped in a wasp nest. That was really interesting. I was still living with my parents, and it was just the three of us, and we'd gone to Oak Creek Canyon, and I thought it'd be fun to roll boulders down into the water down below. Yeah, that's kind of fun. So there was a ledge, it was about, maybe 6 feet below where I was standing. And so I got down on that ledge, and it was, about that wide, and I was pushing these boulders, and they're rolling down the mountainside into the water. You know, just doing my part to manage the universe. I'm a high schooler. Oh, like the prank. And I pushed one of these boulders over, and there was a wasp nest under it. And for some reason, they didn't like that. I got 6 bites on my right foot. I'm left-footed. You know why they didn't get my left foot? Because I was already going up. I don't know how I managed to get up from that ledge to the road 6 feet above me. Boom! There it was. Looked like a cartoon. He says, these enemies of mine, they surround me like bees. They'll be snuffed out like a fire of thorns. When we go up to Grace Acres, we make big fires. Plus, we have all kinds of dead stuff that we have to burn. I saw a picture of the last time Marvin and Ben went up there camping, and they were standing next, and the fire was way above. But what happens with a fire of thorns, these branches? It makes a lot of noise, and a lot of light, and a lot of heat, and then it's gone immediately. That fast, they'll be snuffed out. In the name of the Lord, surely I will cut them off. These requests, you see it repeated over and over again. The solution to the problems that David sees is the help of the Lord. He will cut them off. He will be victorious. He will have his victory over those who hate him, because the Lord is his helper. Verse 13. Pushing me. They're pushing against me, so that I'll fall, so that I'll end up destroyed. For the falling, they're pushing me so that I'll be falling on my face, be embarrassed. And the Lord help me. Comes back again. My strength and my song, the Lord, He is for me, for salvation. So as you look through these verses, through verse 14, the Lord is stronger than all the opposition. I don't care what your problem is today. Well, I probably should. Whatever your problem is, God will be the one who helps you. He will help you. He'll give you the strength. Even though you have a whole group of people who are surrounding you and are opposed to whatever it is, God will be the one who gives you strength. God will be the one that helps you. His mercy, His goodness is unparalleled. There's no one like Him. And He's on your team. So don't fear what man will do to you. Look at verses 15 through 18. And we should praise God and testify of His works, since He's our Savior and our salvation is from Him. The voice, the rejoicing, and the salvation in the tents of the righteous. So David has been delivered, and with him the people. And so in the tents, in the homes, you hear the celebration, the voice, the rejoicing. Yay! God did it again. The rejoicing in salvation in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord works strongly. I don't know if you all saw any of the Super Bowl commercials. I don't remember what they were advertising. All I remember is that there were a whole bunch of men and boys with big right arms. That's the concept. Don't tell me they were advertising beer. I don't want to know about it. The point here is that God has a right hand, and it's working strongly and mightily. So we praise Him for it. The right hand of the Lord, verse 16, is exalted, but this is a reflexive nuance. It's a reflexive stem. It means that God is exercising His right hand, and He's really pleased with the strength that He's doing. He likes doing and displaying His greatness on your behalf. The right hand of the Lord works strongly. Simply repeats the idea again. You want this guy on your team. I remember going to a call with the police department, and I was riding with a black police officer. He was about 6'4", and weighed maybe 250 pounds. He was really big. And we got sent to a house over on the east side where there was an intruder in the house. Somebody had broken into the house You could hear the woman and the children screaming in the background. And we were about 2 miles away. I was telling them, we were using Mapsco's. I was telling him where the house was, where its apartment it was. And so I was giving him the directions. And we were flying. Okay? We screamed a halt out in front of the door, in front of this apartment. And his door flies open. And he's got a button in the front. He pops the trunk. And he runs to the back. And I hear him pull out his shotgun. Cha-ching, cha-ching. And when I saw him go through the door, there was no space on either side. He had to tilt the shotgun, and he went through that front door. Heaven help whoever's going to oppose him. You know where I was? I was behind him. If you're going to be someplace, that's where you want to be. You want to be behind that guy. The bad guys, I don't know whether they heard him coming or saw him coming, but they jumped out the second story window. They were serious about getting away. This strong right hand of deliverance. He saved those people. We got there fast enough, quick enough, they weren't harmed. You have this incredible, powerful God who is on your team. And he says it, the Lord works mighty as his right hand. Verse 17. Well, what do you know? I'm not going to die. I won't die. I'm not dying. I will not die. Can you think of that? I was sure I was dead. I was a dead person. Everybody was against me and they were surrounding me. I had no hope. But God is my Savior. I will not die, but I will live. And I'm going to shout, not just tell. It's an intensive nuance. I'm going to tell everybody the works of the Lord. Verse 18. He has severely corrected me. What do you learn when you go through these trials, these tribulations, where you think, well, you know, this might be the big one. I'm done for. Well, you look back and you say, I learned a lot. I'm still alive. Wow, did I learn a lot. I won't do that again. He has severely corrected me. That is, the Lord. And to death, he has not given me. He hasn't allowed it, but it's actually active. He didn't allow me to die. Do I deserve death? Well, of course we all do. But that's where the psalm starts. Anybody who knows the Lord knows he's merciful. He's full of loving kindness. He loves to save us. We didn't die even though we deserved it. So in verses 15 to 18, we should praise them like the tents of the righteous. They celebrate God's deliverance. Yay, we're not dead. God delivered us. His amazing, wonderful, strong right arm. Now in verses 19 to 24, he jumps from the current problem where he's surrounded and near death and all those other things. And he goes forward to a world where Christ is the center of a righteous world. Open to me the gates of righteousness. Verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter into them. I will thank the Lord. This gate for the Lord, the righteous will go into it. They will go through it. I will thank why? For you answered me, and you are for me for salvation. In verses 21, 19, 20, and 21, you see that this amazing world that's coming will be full of righteousness. And it will be filled with individuals who have been saved by the Lord. Verse 22. The stone, or a stone, the builders rejected. Now David is referring to himself. Luke picks this up and uses it as Christ uses it, referring to himself. And it's a future building. It's a future nuance. It's the coming millennial kingdom. Christ has not become the head of the cornerstone. The building has yet to be built. He is still absent from us. These gates of righteousness are still future. But the rejected stone, this one, the builders made the cornerstone. I was reading an article And in the building of the temple, the second temple, the workers took the cornerstone, and that's the one they set out and they line up all the directions with, so you're building a square, right? Well, in the cleanup, they managed to pitch that one over the ledge down with all the other stones, and so they got further into the project, and where's the cornerstone? Oh, guess what? The guys cleaning the grounds pitched it, so they had to actually send ropes and workers and start sifting through all the stones they pitched over the edge until they found the cornerstone that was the cornerstone of the rebuilt temple. Haul it back up and put it in its rightful place. Well, here, Christ is the rejected stone, but then he becomes the very essence of the building itself. Verse 23. From the Lord, this is. What is? The rejection of the stone is from the Lord. And the restoration of the stone to the center of the whole building. This is from the Lord. And it was marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Which day? The day when the cornerstone is placed at the heart of the new world. And all of us say, wow, we knew this was going to happen. We were told it was going to happen. And here it is. Christ will be the center of a righteous world yet to come. In verses 25 through 29, is when God will send us the help. Though these things are going to happen in the future, our problem is actually now in the present. So you, verse 25, I beg, I pray now, Lord, save the hifl imperative, second singular. Cause salvation for me. This is what they shouted on the streets of Jerusalem. Hosanna, the Greek translation of this Hebrew word. Save me now, would we personalize it. It's a command to save us. You, Christ, save us. Save us now. We beg, we pray. I beg you, O Lord. I pray, O Lord. Make it to prosper, please. Now's when we need the help. Blessed is the coming one, the one who is coming in the name of the Lord. That one whom the builders rejected is coming. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. We pray and we bless the Lord, this one who is coming. That's why we're here this morning. God gives us light. God, the Lord, gives light. He gives light to us. And so we worship him, bind the sacrifice with ropes to the horns of the altar until it's all consumed is the point of that. My God, you are my God, verse 28. I will praise you, my God. I will exalt you. Verse 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for it's all good. He's good. It's all good. Anywhere you look at it, it's good. And unto forever is his mercy. So he stands where he starts. Our God is an incredible merciful God. He will give you help when you need it. So this morning, whatever your problem, whatever your challenge, I'm telling you, Scripture's telling you, no one has ever been put to shame who has believed in the Lord. Isn't that an incredible promise? There's no problem so big, so serious, that our God has a weak, small arm and cannot deliver you. So let's call out to him and ask him for deliverance. Will you join me in prayer?